you know, make things look official, but as you know from reading.
I'm slim. I'll sit right here. I'm working on it.
Cool. And, you know, this is for all of us, too. So.
That mic is actually, I think, the source of the...
interference?
Yeah, so I've turned it down. So
cool.
It's going to be really this one mostly.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Tom and I can kind of introduce ourselves and what our connection is to the radio station and background a little bit. And like as people trickle in, we'll just do more intros. Hi, Maya. Good, how are you?
So, you take the program application, I think it's 2 pages. So maybe you can get the second page.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when we'll just go around maybe and introduce ourselves, like who we work with, what our experience is in radio, what kind of, like even do like what kind of programming we're hoping to hear on the radio, what kind of programming we might be interested in producing. So yeah, you can give your whole whatever. Everything you got.
Anybody listening at home, this is WGXC online radio.
Yeah. Day three of WGXC online radio. We had our online launch last Saturday with quite the blowout on both sides of the river.
So you want to start going around?
Yeah. Then? So I'm Kaya, and I'm part of the work team. There's 4 of us right now, and also on the council, which is 12 people from Columbia and Greene counties. And I live in Columbia County in Germantown on a community farm. So I'm part of the farming community, and my connection with radio started out on the sort of technical end and mostly actually in sort of low-power stations in Mexico. And so that was my introduction into it, and then I was so lucky to find people who are also interested in radio and transmission out here who had applied for a license during that window of the full power community radio license applications. And as I joined the team soon after, we won the license, and so now we're like moving on with the organizational phase. And I'm really interested in doing programming related to farming, and within that, both environmental and social justice aspects of it, farm workers' rights, and sort of...
You also started the Germantown Community Farm, right?
Yes. A couple friends and I founded the Germantown Community Farm, and we try to do a lot of stuff involving food and social justice and food security. and I'm also interested in doing some programming related to the prison system around here, and something for prisoners and for prisoners' families and prison guards. I've got a lot of different things I'd like to do. That's a couple of them. Maybe you want to go around?
I didn't expect to be speaking yet. I thought I'd sit in the corner and listen.
You can do a brief introduction.
My name is Ossi Valens. I'm from Australis, I guess, which, according to your map, is outside your listening area, but that's okay. I'm just very intrigued by your really great idea. And the other thing that I'm sort of interested in is how your project may fit into a great sort of loss that's happening to people all over the country, and that's the loss of the news media, or the professional news media. I used to be a newspaper reporter, and I'm still involved in the communications industry, and I think that this is an interesting sort of project, and you may have a lot of value to the local community as other types of media sort of disappear. And I'll be very interested in hearing how you plan to support yourself.
Yeah, we're definitely interested in becoming a news source for the community. So, the map shows the blue line is where the engineers tell us it'll definitely go, but all the engineers tell us it'll go beyond that. You know, how far you don't really know until you start to turn it on and see. So, you might be able to get it.
I'm not complaining.
There's a good chance.
All right, Jeff, you want to...
I actually just found out about this yesterday.
Oh, sure.
Sorry, I missed the Saturday.
I think you're good.
Event, but yeah, I was really excited just to see this. I read the... speaking of local media, our local newspaper went out of business, so but now some of the people from it are printing it, and that's where I saw it. So I just looked online and just found out about it. And I've been involved with WBCR in Great Barrington so for like 4 years now. So this is really exciting. I have 3,300 watts. So
where do you live again? Sorry.
Copake.
In Copake.
Which is also outside of your listening area, according to this map. But hopefully.
Outside of the blue line or outside the orange line?
We're outside of the blue line. Oh, I didn't even see the orange line. There you go. Yeah, we're still outside of that too. But maybe it'll come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just depends.
All right, and then William, you want to be next? Or Maya, you want to go? You can speak from there. You don't have to. The mic picks it up.
I'm Maya Reed. I came also just to listen, but I've been very interested. I run new programs down at Time and Space Limited in Hudson, and brought a few of the students I work with to the kickoff party on May 9th at Germantown Farm so that they could get involved in the hands-on workshop with Kaya and other interested folks. And with the idea that hopefully there'll be some of the youth who get involved in your programming as this continues. So I'm very excited.
Yes, we,
that will offer the community.
We'll talk about that, but we definitely have a block of youth programming in the afternoons when school gets out that we want to be at. We want to train youth to do it and let them have their say on the air too. And then William. William came out Saturday to Catskill.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm William. I'm originally from Manhattan, you know, but I moved up here years ago. And now I live in Fillmont, New York.
In Fillmont?
I rent a spot out there. I rent a spot in Catskill. And basically how I got into radio because I'm a local artist and at the same time I have my own band, Body Snatchers EMT, and I have my own little independent business. So, you know what I mean? And I know a lot of the local people and I want to see the kids do what they have to do to get right and maybe somebody, my youth, they're listening. So, I don't know. But that's what I'm going for right now and people that's in prisons because at one time, somebody has been locked up, even if it was for a beer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for the youth. I'm just,
yeah.
Like music. I do music, you know? I do music.
Awesome. Do you play around here or something?
I just did a show Saturday at Joe's Bar.
At Joe's Bar? Where's that?
Yeah, one of my artists did a show at Joe's Bar over there. His name is Bills, by the way.
Bills
and Young Parrish.
Yeah.
They did it together. I had the bug that night, so I had to lay down in the bed, but they came back. They got it on video camera and everything.
Cool.
And they said they tore it down. Everybody loved it. No fights. That's for one thing. No fights at a lot of these events that I do. And hopefully everything goes good because we're trying to throw something at the waterfront park down there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, you know, with the ACCA,
yeah,
the council, our council, dealing with Rob Roy, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, so maybe we could do a live transmission for that.
Yeah, he's a good guy, you know, and his energy is excellent, you know, just
awesome.
Like y'all's in this room.
My kids are in bands, too, so
yeah.
All three of them.
Yeah, so that's what I do. I'm in a band. We call it a band. And that's what I do.
Hi, how's it going?
This is Corey Young, who is actually a good friend of mine and very talented. So I brought you talent tonight.
We got multiple talents in the room. Yeah, just hold the chair.
We're just going around introducing ourselves. Corey, you want to tell us, do you live here in Hudson or?
I have been living here in Hudson, but I live in Ghent now. Mm-hmm. So I'm out there trying to get everything set up, try to go to school and everything. Trying to follow something around the music business, something like that.
And why are you interested in radio? Or?
I kind of just got put in this direction today, earlier in the day, by Sue. That's about it.
That's
but
good.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you do?
All kinds of different sorts, a little bit of alternative, but mostally hip-hop and R&B.
That's William over there. He does some hip-hop, too.
That's what I do with hip-hop.
All right.
You probably heard my band before, Body Snatchers ENT.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are, I did a lot, for my age, you know, I've been everywhere. Not everywhere, all out of the state, but, from New York all the way to Boston, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, location. I have a show coming up to the 20th in Boston, Mass. With OTT at the Rock Band. Through a good friend of mine's again. And I had another show just recently, just passed one of my artist bills in Young Paris. Mm-hmm. So, it's a lot of things going good.
And
hopefully, if you're good, sorry for cutting you off.
No, I was just going to say, Young Paris has been involved a lot in some like the other meetings that we've had, and is super psyched to do some programming around like young hip hop artists and working with youth and stuff. So it'd be awesome too if you guys wanted to.
All right, and then I'm Tom from the station, and I'm from the nonprofit arts group that got the license originally. It's called Free 103.9, and we started in New York City about 12 years ago, and we work with artists that use radio somehow in their work. So we've been in contact with a lot of national radio kind of advocacy groups over the years, and they kind of told us, there's going to be this window. You can apply for a license up there. It's going to be available. And so we did. We got a couple... We had to get some people to raise some money to pay for the... you had to get a broadcast lawyer and a broadcast engineer to fill out the application. It's free to fill out, but you need professionals who filled it out before. And we raised a couple $1,000s from some local people fairly quickly when we didn't even have the license yet. We were the only local group to apply for it. TSL almost did, I guess. But we've been talking to Linda about putting some microphones there and beaming out signals from TSL and other places, so we'll still get you involved. So we applied in 2007, and just this past October, they told us we could have the license, and now we're trying to get a big community involved to run the station, to do the programming, to... play the songs, interview local politicians. We're going to try to do some stuff with like airing local town meetings, airing performances and lectures and stuff from places like TSL, and really get the community involved. So, what do you want to? You're leading. You lead
give
this.
Next. Give this.
While I get back to my engineering.
The rundown of the station. The idea is that we're going to have a studio in Hudson, within a walkable distance of like the sort of Warren Street area, and there's a couple different spaces we're looking at that we're yet to confirm, and one studio in Catskill, and another studio out in Caro.
The Catskill one is going to be at the Catskill Community Center.
Yeah, and that's already confirmed, and as soon as we get materials and the money together, we're going to start building it. We've the idea, like sort of technically speaking, is that we want this to be, well, both technically and also organizationally, that this is a decentralized media project, in that we really want to have places and people from all over the community to be have the capability to be sort of remote studios and doing programming from different areas, and also to be doing education with youth in different areas, and also with members of the community in training people in radio skills and creating media of different kinds. So everything from audio editing to, you know, production, programming, and then all the other aspects of what it takes to run a station, news making, and the sort of content-based stuff too. So what we're still in the process of doing is building up the sort of the volunteer base to implement a lot of that. And so we're just doing little by little with what we have, doing public meetings, getting some classes started this summer. We're going to start doing some youth programs in Hudson in maybe a couple different locations. And then in Catskill Community Center.
So we're going to start by training youth and getting them involved, and then
Yeah. And so we already got a small grant to get some small digital audio recorders to train people how to use those, and then they'll be available to take out from the library and the community center. So people, once they learn how to use those, can come and take them out and go make audio recordings and then bring them back to edit. And then eventually, when we get some more money, we'll get laptops and be able to do remote broadcasting through web stream technology, like through internet, and eventually through also cell phones, so that we can do it from places where there isn't internet. So there's a lot of tech, there's some cool like technical things that are gonna allow us to do it. We'll have like all kinds of venues from around the place, everywhere that has music events or town halls or sports events, the community college, the high school.
Community college already has a radio studio.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna, we're talking to them, that it is not finalized, but we're talking to them, and basically we just have to plug them into our system. And
right, there's a lot of places like that are like kind of ready to go. A place like Club Helsinki, which is like a big kind of thing, they're going to have all of the equipment already that they could just, and they'll be able to web stream anyway, so.
Are they over here yet?
The building isn't finished yet. But
it's not finished yet.
Yeah.
It's due to,
they keep saying it's going to be soon.
Yeah. But they're just an example. There's a lot of different venues. Jason's Upstairs Bar, I'm sure, they've been super supportive of the project. And so anyway, the idea is that, like, to make the community connected to the radio station, it's not just a studio that you go to and whoever can get into that studio and get their voice on the air. It's that we train the community to be documenters and reporters and audio production people, that they can go out into the community and seek out that kind of information, and also the venues that already exist can be plugged into something that will be broadcast that everybody can hear and everybody can have access to. So
that's the part that seems very exciting, is that you don't have to be in a place. You don't have to like figure that out. You
right.
can just sort of be the person you are in the community and,
right.
And be out in it, which is...
Yeah, and that's like, impressive. I think part of that the idea of community building that is, you know, I think the motivator for all of us who are involved in the project, and in a rural area that's pretty, you know, there's urban areas and then there's the rural area that surrounds it, and you know, you guys live in Philmont and Ghent, and there's, you know, there's always stuff going on in Hudson, maybe sometimes, and then, but there's things going on in different places, but it's pretty spread out, but there's a lot of people within these two counties, and there's a lot of things going on, and it's hard to know about stuff going on. It's hard to know that there's different, you know, people don't know there's all these different kinds of things going on in different places. They're really in their own little areas. So the idea is to really like have it as like a catalyst to bring some of that stuff together and give the community a voice for media that we don't get to hear, and in the sort of mainstream networks that we have around here. And there's only, you know, a limited amount of corporate stations that we have access to. So
maybe anyway, I thought I'd give in your brochure there, the middle, there's a little outline of what the programming might be like. Because we're starting now and people are just applying for shows, we can't say what it's going to exactly be like, but we have a bit of a framework. We think weekdays from 6 in the morning to, say, 9 or 10 in the morning, there's going to be a kind of a local news show where we have a team of 5 or 6 people that maybe not do it every day, but they, you know, 2 people do it on Monday and then different 2, so it doesn't, nobody has to be there every day, and it really gets a lot of different voices on. Probably a lot of them are going to be journalists or people that used to be journalists or others like that. Some will just be like radio personality hosts, and we'll probably play music, probably do a lot of things with like live interviews of and maybe interviewing some of the journalists, you know, when the Register Star comes out that day with a big story, I guess whatever the big story of the morning, talk to them. Or today I heard the city treasurer in Hudson is going to run for mayor against Rick Scalera, so we'll probably have her. Tomorrow we would have her on talking about why she wants to run for mayor. That's the kind of thing we're thinking of. We're thinking the 6 to 7 a.m. hour is really focused on farmers and agriculture, and those people that are really up early in the morning, out with their animals, and they can have the radio in the barn, and as they're dealing with the beginning of the day. There's a lot of people have said that they want to hear Democracy Now, so we may put Democracy Now on. We may not. It hasn't been decided. We might put it on live at 8 in the morning, or we might put it on tape you know, later in the day. And then from 9 to or 10 to 2 or 3, there's just going to be various community shows about local authors, shows about the history of the area, shows about the environment, shows about the arts. You know, some of the shows might be music oriented. People playing. Several people have applied to do a local music show, but we don't know what those shows are going to be because people are going to apply and we're going to see what people want to do and what people want to hear. Then we're thinking 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 or something like that. There's going to be a youth show right when school gets out. You know, when parents are in cars picking up students, they can listen. Some of the news will be, about education in general. Maybe some of it will come from the community college, but we want to train as many young people in the area and have them do the radio themselves as much as possible. So it's run by youth, for youth and for parents about what's going on in the school system and throughout the two counties. And then we think in the afternoon, probably 4 to 7-ish, there's going to be an afternoon news show that's similar to the morning news show, maybe more focused on education since it's coming right after that, like the morning show is focused on agriculture. But again, it'll be a lot of people contributing. Like we're talking to people that do local blogs already, and so they're already reporting on Tivoli or Greene County or different areas. They'll have a regular spot every week where they call in and talk about what the reporting they've been doing. We're definitely talking to a bunch of different journalists to be a part of that show. And then in the evenings, from 7 to midnight, we think it'll probably be split in half or something, but there'll be a DJs playing music or maybe local hip-hop or all kinds of things going on. But they're going to cut away to the different live events that are going on in the community that we're going to be able to beam from the internet to the main studio and pick up that way and send out. So we'll probably put on, if there's a local performance at a different venue around town, we'll put on a couple songs live on the FM signal and say, if you want to hear the rest of the performance, you can go to the internet and hear it there. If there's a big important vote at some town meeting, we'll put as much of that as possible on the FM signal. Regular town meetings, we might just put the public comment part seems like the most interesting part of those town meetings where people get up and tell their representatives what they think about what's going on in the town. But it's all kinds of things, lectures, workshops. There's all kinds of interesting programming that's already going on in the community that we just have to set up some microphones and feed into a computer and get back to the main studio. And then the DJs will play songs in between that tell everybody about the community events going on. Late at night is probably going to be experimental radio art of all kinds. That's the mission of the arts organization that got the license. So you'll be hearing all kinds of strange and interesting things late at night. And then Saturdays is also going to be run by the arts organization, Free 103.9, that got the license. So some weeks it's going to be a radio artist from London or Germany that's in town. But some weeks, the week before local elections, we're going to invite every politician that's running for office and come by the studios and talk for 10 or 15 minutes about why people should vote for them. We're going to go to, there's a big blues festival. There's a big bluegrass festival out in Greene County. There's all kinds of local festivals and events on Saturdays. We're going to try to go to them as much as possible and feed them back live events, especially in the summer when all those things are going on. But we're going to use Saturdays to be unpredictable and kind of random, and it can depend on what's going on in the community, and there's also going to be some experimental sound art and radio art on those days. And Sundays, right now we have no idea what Sundays are going to be, and we're leaving it wide open to depending on what people apply for. Several people have applied for specific shows for Sunday already, and we'll figure that out. The radio council will figure that out when it gets...
We've gotten some requests recently for Sundays to have some programming that's like some radio drama and story reading
kids,
and stuff like people kids have, programming.
Kids like stories that. Or kids, some sort of kids morning show that people have been talking about a lot lately.
And then something related to that sort of stuff. But those are just examples of some different ideas. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions that are coming up for you guys as we're talking that are like, how's that going to work?
You were asking before about funding, I guess. We could address...
Yeah, I'm so curious how you
were you getting your startup money, and also how do you plan on sustaining yourself?
Yeah. Well, we have applied for a grant from PTFP, which
is the Commerce Department.
It's a federal grant.
And it pays for 50% of startup costs for new non-commercial educational stations. And they tell us we have a 1 in 2 chance of getting it. And if anybody here has written grants before, usually you have a 1 in 300 or a 1 in 500 chance of getting it. But so we have a very good chance. And the president of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters called us 2 weeks ago and said she's on the board deciding the grants and wanted to represent our application. So we think we have an even better chance now. And so we find out in October whether we get that, and that would be about $86,000 to pay for brand new equipment. It's not for used equipment, it's for brand new. They want it to be they want to create sustainable radio stations that are around for a long time, so they want to get
the best equipment, the highest.
So we have our fingers crossed that we're going to get that, and that's going to help. And then our arts organization has a history of getting other grants. We've gotten grants from the Warhol Foundation, from the NEA, from all kinds of national organizations like that. And we're going to try not to stress out this area as much as possible because everybody's struggling now. The economy is bad. And if we can bring some funds from outside the area to help out, that'll be great. And then we're also going to do things like Saturday. What happened Saturday?
Yeah, so we had our first like fundraiser event.
First at all. The first time we asked anybody for money at all was Saturday.
And it was an all day long event, noon to beyond midnight, that involved workshops and dinner and dessert and three bands, three DJs, really incredible bands. And we just like asked like a sliding scale $5 to $25 contribution for the whole night, and also it was just suggested donation. And then we did a silent auction, and we got donations from businesses throughout the whole community of gift certificates or items or whatever. So we had like over 50 items to sell in the silent auction. So people bid on them. We had a raffle. Mm-hmm. We just did what we could. And so if people didn't have any money, they could come and have a great time. And if they did have money, they could come and have a great time and buy stuff and whatever. So it worked out really nicely. We had probably throughout the day, I'd say, 300 to 400 people coming and going. We fed 250 people. A local chef who owns a restaurant in the city donated a lot of the food, and so we had pretty low costs. And we're still kind of totaling up the final things. And it was actually a fundraiser for two different. It's going to be split between WGXC and a radio station that we work with in Mexico, separately. And so, but I think that we raised like close to $4,000 after expenses. So it'll be like $2,000 for each project, which is pretty good for just like throwing something at a farm and whatever and putting it all together. And we were pretty happy about it. And so we could also do more events like that were just for WGXC. And
several people that have come to meetings like this before have said, oh, I want to put on a show. And I think somebody's organizing one at Jason's upstairs bar.
Yeah.
Some people are talking about organizing one out in Chatham. Mm-hmm. That's like one of the things that we're hoping that as we get more volunteers, they want to go out and organize these things. We talked to somebody at the Spotty Dog bookstore, and they want to organize a wine and cheese benefit. So there's all like it doesn't have to just be a show. We're going to probably do some poetry things and some things with local authors and all kinds of other events in the community to try to not just raise money, but also find more people that want to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And then that's how we hope to get all the money together, to start the station in all those different ways that we told you. Sustainable, it's a non-commercial educational station, so there'll probably be pledge drives like your typical station. We want to try to keep those to a minimum because nobody likes to listen to those at all. They're no fun at all. We may do some underwriting. We haven't determined yet. I'm kind of in favor of it because, like you were saying before, the newspapers, and you were saying before, the newspapers keep going out of business. And there's fewer and fewer places where if you have a small local business, you can reach customers. So to let them know that your company exists or your store exists. So I think underwriting is kind of a good way to let local businesses in on this project. And we may also have some advertising on the website. We can't have any advertising on the radio station, but we may have some advertising on the website as a way to let small businesses, you know, reach people who might be potential customers. And we're also going to find grants on an ongoing basis, and we're also hoping that the local venues that we partner with that we're airing their that we're going to give them a web stream for every event if they choose to use it and air some of their things on the FM. We're hoping that each of these venues will hold a benefit once a year and really feel a part of the station and want to help out and keep it on the air because they'll see the value in it. You know, we'll be talking about each of these venues and all the other venues in the area. We'll be talking about their events every day and saying, this is coming up tonight, you know, in Greene County. This is coming up tonight in Columbia County every day. And there's not like one source of information about if you want to do something on a Friday night, what's all going on. You get some of the information in the Daily Mail and in Greene County, some of the information in the Register Star, some of the information in the Columbia paper, some of the information in CC Scoop or Coco To Do or some other websites. But we're hoping we can be like an aggregator of all that sort of information and really help the community, in many different ways, but as a source of information that, can be shared. We're hoping we can be sustainable in that way. The studio spaces are donated spaces. So the Castle Community Center has donated a space. The people in Hudson that we're talking to are talking about donating a space. We're going to have to cover, the costs that we are going to incur on them, electricity and sewer and water and all those things, and we'll have to pay for that. But we think we can find studio spaces that we don't have to pay a monthly fee, and we're trying to do the whole project in that sort of same way, kind of DIY aesthetic, keep the costs as low as possible, hands-on by local people as much as possible, and try to find a sustainable way to keep the station going. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answered your question from an hour ago or whatever it was.
I have a follow-up question, sure, if you don't mind, and that is, you've done a really good job at explaining about talking about content providers, but I'm sort of curious about the listenership. Mm-hmm. Have you done any sort of demographic studies, or do you have at least a gut feeling who would listen, who wouldn't listen to this sort of thing, and how you would maintain consistency, and how you take, I hate to use these sort of commercial terms, but, share away from other people, or, you want them, do you want people to leave this station set on their dial, or?
We think, we're going to be 90.7 FM, and WAMC is 90.3 FM, and they provide great, regional and national news. We're going to try to be focused really on local. And so on WAMC and WRPI and WKZE and some of these other stations that are great and we love, they don't talk so much about Germantown or Kinderhook or Ghent or Kopaki or Austerlitz every day. We're going to try to talk about all those communities, if not every day, definitely once a week, somebody's going to be on talking about those communities. And so we think it's going to be a real way that people will be able to, that will want to be switching back and forth between their regional and national information and their very local. So we're going to try to be very local and provide a service that kind of doesn't exist at the moment. And especially as the newspapers are going out of business, more and more there's a lack of coverage in local community. And airing the town meetings is kind of one way, because I've been talking to people in Chatham that go to every town meeting, and all they have to do is bring a recorder or bring a laptop, and we'll set them up with a system to stream it, and then we can leave that recording up, and so the people that couldn't be at that meeting in person will be able to listen the next day or the day after or hear it live on the FM station. So that might not be journalism, but at least it's the information that people can take and create their own journalism if they want. The local blog reporters can listen to those recordings and write things about what's going on based on that, or just anybody that's interested in whatever the local town issue, the Philmont you know, home right now, or the DSS issue in here in Hudson, we'll have stories, you know, or air meetings, and at least the raw information can get out that way.
I think also as far as like doing research about demographics and in thinking about our listenership, I think we have more work to do on that level, and also our Radio Council so far is a pretty broad section, like represents a pretty broad section of the community, and some of the work we've been doing is drawing from them and from their connections what they feel are some of the different aspects of the community, and then also through our public meetings asking for that kind of input of like what parts of the community need to be represented on this, what part of the community do you feel connected to, trying to involve or integrate that into our programming schedule and our programming decisions, which will be going all through the council and eventually just the programming committee or whatever. So, for example, farming was identified as a big part of Columbian Green County as the farming community, and often one not heard on the radio very much, and underserved. So, that was where something came out of where we were like, scheduled in that sort of 6 to 7 a.m. We got some suggestions from farmers being like, we really need to hear commodity prices first thing in the morning, and then something about, farming and the area or the environment or whatever. And so, and that made sense for that time because they're the ones up then or whatever. So that's just an example of one. And then, there's going to be programs in Spanish and programs potentially in Bangladeshi and, representing for the different immigrant communities in the area. So we do have more research to do and definitely taking more input from people of like, I'm part of the community, this is what...
So we haven't done as much formal surveys, but having these kind of public meetings have been kind of informal ways. We had a large one at the Hudson Opera House, I guess it was last month, that we had like 40 or 50 people at. We've had meetings in Catskill and in Cairo and in Chatham. So we're trying to sit in each community, and we're only going to get the most active people like you guys to come out, but hopefully we'll find out what some of the less active people are interested in too. We've been doing some things where, like in Chatham, we set up on a volunteer day on Main Street, and so it wasn't just people that made a point of coming out that we talked to that day. It was people that just happened to be going down the street, and we're going to do more things like maybe Flag Day in Hudson, where everybody's on the sidewalk, and kind of area festivals in Athens and other places, and we're going to have microphones set up, and then like ask. We just keep asking over and over again, what do you want to hear on the radio? And we might do a formal, there has been talk of people wanting us to do a formal research in the way you're talking about, of like who is and identify who the listeners are. And we know there's 78,000 possible people in the listening range, but find out more detailed information about, to make it sustainable and identify who might be listening.
And as far as how to, it's something that's been brought up to me a number of times about community radio stations is that sometimes it can end up being a little bit scattered and unpredictable because you can tune in, you kind of never know what you're going to get, and so it can be hard to know when to tune in, and you tune in and it's like a program that you're not interested in, or it's different from the last week when you, and so trying to, and we're, but then another complaint that we hear about from maybe public radio stations or other community radio stations is that it's all just a handful of personalities that kind of command the voice of the station. It's like, oh, it's always that guy and that lady, and you always hear them in their same program, and they their program becomes really popular and then is around forever and whatever. So in trying to find strike a balance between those two issues, what we're trying to seek is consistency of the type of programming that you can hear. And so that's a little bit in what it says about the scheduling of like, school related things in the 3 o'clock bracket and news around this time from this area, national news, local news. And, so that you can count on the type of programming that's going to happen at a certain time of the day. But as far as who's producing that program or exactly what the content is of that program, that's going to change. And also,
like the farmers, for instance, we could have the farmers, 6 to 7 a.m., but some days it'll be, the show will probably be run by organic farmers, and some days it will be by more traditional farmers, so that all kinds of different voices can be heard, or some days it'll be people that raise horses or cows or pigs and, you know, other kinds of agricultural activities. So the subject will be the same, but we can have a multiplicity of voices. And the same, we're talking about the morning news show and the afternoon news show, having 5 or 6 people being involved in it. And so they're not involved every single day, but a multiplicity of voices is allowed to be heard.
But a lot of that is like still, you know, this is policy writing in the works that we are trying to work out, and certainly looking for input on.
And looking for people who are interested in really being a fuller part of the station and helping write that policy, because we have a council that's basically going to approve policy and give us ideas of what they want the policy to be, but we need more worker bees to go out and say, okay, you know, this is we've got a meeting, I think, in a month in Greene County of some different local journalists who are on the journalism team and trying to start the talk about the discussion of what the journalism policies of the station are going to be. And there's different groups that we're starting to get. We've got, I think, 50 or 60 different volunteers already signed up to be a part of one little team or another. So, you know, if you want to help put on a benefit show, you could be on that team. If you want to help with write the journalism policy or the programming policy, you could work on those teams. Or if you have internet skills and you can help with the website or those kind of things, you can be on that team. And so we're trying to make it so that everybody can do a little bit to get a lot done. So what other questions are there?
When do we start?
So the station is not going to, like, it's not when you drive, right? Like, say you're driving, because I'm trying to figure out what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're driving and it, like 2 stations on at one time.
No, just one. It's going to be 90.7 FM.
All right, so you hit a certain point, it's going to cut out.
Yeah,
if you look at that map, yeah.
Okay.
So it basically gets to it definitely gets to the Taconic, and all the engineers tell us it's going to get farther, probably closer to the Massachusetts line. And then it gets up to I-90 to the north, and into Albany County on the Greene County side, and then down to basically the mountains on Greene County side, out to Windham probably, and down to almost Saugerties, and then down a little past Germantown, and hopefully into Rhinebeck almost down here. So that's the general coverage area.
How many people are in that coverage area? I know you said 78,000.
78,000 are in the blue line.
That's actually a lot of people for a rural area. I mean, yeah. That's more people than you'd think.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. And that's part of that thing that we've been, you know, when we start to break down numbers of like, okay, how are we going to pay for this thing? You know, if like 1% of people...
That we had early on, and we got a grant to get the former president of New Hampshire Public Radio came and spent a weekend with us, and he told us for those pledge drives, you can expect, first you're listening, you have 78,000 people in the area, 10% of them are going to listen to you regularly, so that's 7,800, and then 10% of them are going to give you about $65 to $85 every time you do a pledge drive. So
on average.
That's 780 people, and... give you that much money, so it's $50,000 to $65,000 is our like base operating budget. You know, then we need to get additional grants and such. So we think the first year at least we're gonna probably be running with unpaid staff, and then hopefully we'll have at least like 2 staff paid positions in the second year, and maybe we can get a full time journalist there in year 3 or something. To organize the news staff a little bit more, or whatever the need is. You know, maybe we need a full-time engineer more than we need a full-time news person. We'll find out by then, but we're going to do it as bare bones as we can to get started. I was afraid that raising this much money or keeping that kind of sustainability was going to be difficult, and we've been overwhelmed by support when we've had these meetings and meeting people on the street, and the number of people that have emailed and just called randomly is kind of overwhelming. And I'm really, you know, maybe we're just because we're just starting, we're getting the people that are most excited about it, but it just keeps happening. All these people keep coming out and finding out about things slowly, and I'm a little more confident that we can actually do all this.
And after like walking around mostly Hudson, but also parts of Catskill and just in the area and trying to get donations for our event or whatever, I was like so blown away by how supportive the businesses were. And, you know, most of them gave something. If I got a hold of the person in charge, they most of the time were like, this sounds great, this is exactly what we need, and gave their support on, you know, just without even asking a lot of questions, just, you know, handed over an item or a gift certificate or something like that. And so those are the kinds of relationships that we're just starting. And, you know, they haven't even heard anything yet. They don't even know. You know, it's just like, just the idea of community radio station is something that the community really needs and cares about. And so, you know, imagine now, you know, over the next year, we'll be trying to fill out the programming on our web stream, building the studios little by little, getting it, you know, right now it's just going to be on repeat of what we've got so far. And then, you know, a year from now when we're going to be hopefully ready to be broadcasting, our programming will be fleshed out and pretty close to, you know, what we're trying to get it to. And, you know, we'll be building that after that. But, you know, once people are listening online and they're hearing that and we're just doing, you know, some final pushes, and then once we're on the air, it's like it becomes a whole different thing. So already, you know, before we're even producing anything, people have been really supportive. So
how are you using the online tool? I don't know much about it. Are people able to access what we're talking about like right now?
Yeah, I'm sure Galen's listening to us right now. Yeah. Last night, or on Saturday night, there was a couple people who said, oh, we've had such a such a long day, we're so tired, we wish we could stay for the music, but we can't, we just have to go home. And I said, well, go home and just listen online, you know, it's going to be great. And they were like, oh my God, that's great. And I meant to call them yesterday, but I wanted to call and see how it sounded if they went and listened at home. So
what is the website?
It's wgxc.org. Mm-hmm. The call letters are WGXC for Green and Columbia Counties, mm-hmm. and it's WGXC.org. And the website there is, right now it's kind of temporary. We've got a bunch of professionals working on the full website, and it should be like 2 or 3 weeks probably before it's done. And there'll be ways to upload audio, to share. Everybody will be able to post events. It'll be really user-friendly.
Interactive.
We'll have a news blog going in a couple of weeks. There'll be links to all the different cities throughout the area, and then information as it people make news stories or recordings of meetings, it'll go to those town pages. So if you live in the city of Germantown and you're interested in Germantown community meetings, there'll be links to all those on that Germantown page there. And we're doing things like that to really make it easy for people to use and find the information that they're going to be most interested in. Because if you live in Cornwallville or Windham or Catskill, you're not going to be interested so much in the Germantown town meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you this too. Well, like, say, like, if, like, you know, you don't know how to work on this, right? And from now to October, mm-hmm. right? It's nobody. How do you, like, say you want to learn now till October come? Mm-hmm. You know, and you want to get now in 30 to learn. Mm-hmm. How to engineer your stuff and your equipment. How do you go about that? Like, where do you go?
Totally.
This day, like, where do you go?
Right, like, what next? How do you get those skills?
Like,
totally. Well, so we did our first, like, radio skills workshop at the farm the other day. And we have some scheduled for youth workshops, which will be, like, how to use the mics, the mixers, and the audio recorders, and how to, you know, do some basic editing and stuff like that. But granted, we have the volunteer help. As soon as that is, basically as soon as we can, and now that we raised a little bit of money to get some basic equipment, we can start doing those workshops soon, you know, for not just youth, for the community. And, the hope is to, like, be doing a lot of those over the, you know, ongoing.
And some of it we're going to do at events. We're going to do events like maybe show up at Flag Day and be on the sidewalk. And so we can have somebody that knows what they're doing engineering and have an assistant that doesn't know what they're doing yet, and they can do it together. And by the end of the day, hopefully the assistant can do it just as good as the professional. So we're going to do a variety of workshops and hands-on and at all these events. You know, we're going to do benefit concerts. At each benefit concert, we're going to need an engineer, and all these different audio engineers have already contacted us. And
yeah, we've got a lot.
A lot of people that know what they're doing, and they can easily train. And we can build an audio army of people recording and engineering. And
yeah, and for example, if you have an event that you wanted to put on our web stream.
Like you were talking about doing a hip-hop show in the park. That's like the perfect thing.
Yeah,
you know, we'd love to do that. Yeah.
And build the art council and all the people that's up Hudson. You know what I mean? So once that goes through, we already got our grant. So, it ain't much, but something more than what I gotta put out of my pocket, but and we all working together on that. Me, Jules, Rob Boy.
We actually have a big PA that we can maybe donate to the cause, so you don't have to rent one.
Beautiful. I'll give you some information.
Yeah, we'll talk afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah, and like for example, with something like that, we could come out with the equipment to do the web stream, and if there was like a couple people who wanted to volunteer with someone who's trained to learn how to do it with them and just do the audio together, So it's your event. You'd like call up WGXC or email us or whatever and be like, hey, I want to do this thing, or you're having a show or something, or there's something going on at TSL, or there's something going on in town, or there was like a thing at the city hall like a month ago for the DSS thing,
This coming Saturday, the Catskill Community Orchestra is playing in Catskill, and we're going to be doing the same thing, just going out and putting them on the internet. So if you can't go in person, you can listen to the Catskill Community Orchestra.
That one.
Yeah.
And then once y'all are trained, for example, if you came and did audio one time or a couple times, and you felt comfortable with the equipment, there'll be equipment that's available to borrow and take to a different event, and then you could take someone along with you and train them. And the idea is to sort of like have this network of people training each other, because the basic part of it is very simple and can be quickly transferred. And then getting into editing and production of radio shows is something we're also going to be doing trainings in, and that maybe we'll be doing like more ongoing and learning how to use computer programs and stuff that's like a little more involved. But we want to do some of that, and we already have volunteers who are like super ready to do that, people who are coming out of audio school. Awesome. Great. Yeah, that's totally what we need. And that's like what we're short on right now, is like, I mean, we have a lot of people we've got a lot of people offering, and so one thing we were short on was just any budget, but...
Yeah,
we're starting to do that.
But we just started now. Yeah, we're gonna print T-shirts and coffee mugs and I don't know if coffee mugs, but bumper stickers definitely. Yeah, things like that, and sell those to raise money and get. There's lots of different ways. Now that Saturday was the first day we tried to raise any money at all, so we're gonna start doing a lot more now. We just the other day got this logo designed, and there's kind of a contest going on now. We want to have, if anybody's artistic at all, we want somebody to draw a little thing with a microphone or a radio tower or, something with the Catskill Mountains or the Hudson River or something. We want something, a little something to go next to this, to be the official logo of the station. So we're looking, this is the first night we've started telling people this, but there's a page in your brochure that says design the WGXC logo. So that's going to be the logo, and then we want something to go next to it. So if you got a friend that's a local artist, they can do that, and that's another way to get involved. Whose did I take?
I know there's a lot of music that's supposedly going to be happening in farmers markets also, in terms of setting up the table.
Oh yeah, I didn't tell you. Max talked to the Hudson Farmers Market woman this weekend, and she wants us to set up.
Oh, he told me.
Yeah,
Virginia.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that, or my wife's actually doing the Hillsdale Farmers Market.
Oh, yeah?
So. Oh, cool.
So if you know who to talk to there, see if...
And we went to the meeting.
So. Yeah, so see if, mention it, the local new community radio station would like to come out and...
I'm sure they'd like that. Yeah. I mean, I think they want publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, for example, like my farm has a table at the Hudson Farmers Market, and they'll just keep information there all the time, but it would be great to have, and probably we can't get there every week to do the, or at least at first, but you know, occasionally we'll get there and we'll do a table and we'll set up, and I'm sure the Catskill Market would want to do that and everything. Yeah, microphones make it a whole different kind of thing.
And someone to talk to answer questions. I mean, it's one thing to take a brochure and you have a little bit of an idea what the station is, but if you talk to somebody a little bit more, then they can tell you, you know, answer your specific question if you're interested in a certain kind of thing.
She's one of the vendors for it, yeah.
Also, you need a band, too, a live band.
Oh, I got a couple, maybe three, I don't know.
And you know what? Since you're here, I'll do it.
Catskill pays people to do music.
A lot of people pays me, you know, but right now it's for the youth. You know, I'm doing it for the youth. You know, you win some, you lose some. I lost a lot of money in this game, so really getting money is not really the issue right now. I'm not here for the money. I'm here because I really like music.
Totally.
You know? I really like music. I know a lot of people like Vince McMahon from the Poughkeepsie Station.
Oh, yeah.
And Ray from all these stations. Like, I talk to these people dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're some good friends of mine. You know, DJ Rookie, you know, he gets his plays. And I've been doing for a young guy that I am. A lot of people see, like, yo, you're striving. Like, you're doing good. You got that spark. You're ready. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm ready, you know. I don't know how to use that equipment.
I've just been learning. We found an old mixer this like in our barn, and we actually like set that up for the event. And I was like, at first, and it's like 10 times the size of that thing. It's like huge and way too many buttons and knobs and stuff. And I was like, I saw it and I was like, I don't know how to use this thing. Somebody else has to figure this out. And by the end of the event, I was like, okay, this isn't as scary as I thought it was, and like I can kind of figure this out. It's like not so bad. And so, you know. In a day, you know, it's
I still have a tape player in my car.
Yeah, the computer stuff is the much harder than the things than the actual audio equipment.
So it can be updated a little bit.
I think we're actually gonna have tape decks, and we've already gotten two tape, like really super professional tape decks donated. So we just need a third one for the third studio.
Well, tape is still some of the highest quality audio you can do. So.
Yeah, I have ones I made off the radio. Like literally, I was listening to one today. It's like 25 years old. It still sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
We're really interested in combining, like somebody was describing this weekend, like old-time radio with new-time technology and seeing how the two can work together. And I think that's kind of an interesting way to help the community teach people how to use some new technologies, but, you know, still bring in tape decks and you know, the way radio used to be a lot of live. Bands used to play on the radio back in the, you know, the 30s and 40s when it started. It was all about like live music. So we want to kind of go back to those days to some extent.
Totally. And that's a big thing, I think, of radio in general, is that radio itself is very accessible. You know, it's like it's the one source of media that you don't, you know, that you pretty much always have access to some kind of radio. The average home has like 7 radios in it, including their cars or whatever. And so, you know, internet, television, newspapers, all those things are limited access compared to radio. And so you can reach way more people, kids, you know, you don't have to be literate, you don't have to, you know, and so there's something about it that's really unique and consistent, something you can count on that you have.
You can kind of be doing something else while you listen.
Exactly, exactly. And so you can listen. Yeah, you can listen to the radio all day long,
whereas
you can't
or
read the newspaper all day. Right?
And there's two, like, to get back to your question of like how will it be different from the other stations. There's two kind of ways I've been telling people is like one, we hope that after a year or two, like everybody in the two counties has been on the air at some point, or they'll at least know like their best friend has been on the air, or their father, or their brother or sister. You know, everyone will feel like it's a place where they're part of. And then secondly, there was like a night last year I was going to the Hudson train station to pick up my wife, and there was a little mini tornado came through Leeds, and the police had blocked off the road, and then they had sent us around this different road, and that was like blocked off too, and all these cars were just sitting there not moving, and everybody's wondering what's going on. And I went through the radio dial and I couldn't find one station that like even sounded like it was had local live programming, and certainly nobody was talking about the storm or what was going on.
There was a case in the Midwest where a train derailed and there was some toxic chemicals leaked, and nobody was even made aware of it because the local station was just on automation.
There's computers running the station.
In San Marcos, Texas, there's this big giant clear channel station, and It's only interested in Austin and San Antonio because it's right in between the two. And there was this giant flood a couple years ago, and they're like playing the same songs on rotation while this giant flood's going on. And the mayor had to get on the there was a pirate radio station in the town. The mayor like got on the pirate radio station, KIND, and to tell everybody what was going on because. So we want to be that station where if something like that goes on in the community, you can turn to and there'll be a live report. You know, we're going to have police scanners in the studio, and if something's going on, we'll know about it. And, you know, we'll get on the phone and find out what the information is and get it to you so that, you know,
And we definitely want to do a lot of call-in kind of stuff. There's been, like, a lot of different suggestions of call-in shows. All different kinds of call-in shows, everything from like our own version of Car Talk with like local mechanics. There's a couple guys who want to do something like that. To, you know, shows like talking about the community with different subjects each week or whatever, and having people call in and just have their voices put out there. So ways to invite, you know, even more ways to invite the community in to like get the voices of the community involved who maybe they're not even interested in radio production and having a show, but they know that they can call. And the thing about a community radio station is like when you say the number and you call, you're gonna get on the air. You know, most of the time when you call, it's like you'll never get through. But this is like, you know, somebody's gonna pick up and be like, hey, what's up? You know, what do you get to say? And that creates such a different dynamic for listeners, knowing that they have the opportunity multiple times a week to call into the station and say something. And then they also have the opportunity to come and learn how to use the equipment. You know, so that level of accessibility both in listening to radio and then the level of accessibility in being on the radio and then creating radio and all those things, you know, and media, you know, the media as well. So it's, you know, it's a multifaceted approach to like trying to make it of the community and for the community.
Yeah. I see that y'all have sports.
Oh, that's definitely a big. I think we just didn't write it on there, but sports games and
like the
sports
high school
scores
and
stuff like that has been a big.
That's real big, you know.
Oh, definitely.
That's real big, like regardless of what age you are, or who are you, a lady or a guy?
Yeah.
You know, you want to listen to sports. You know, who don't, right? NFL. Basketball, hockey.
We're going to focus mostly
on the local
high school. But I'm sure people will be talking about the Mets and the Yankees too.
But yeah, I think they'll be like, you know, more like, you know, live from a big sports game at Columbia Green, or somebody had a kid at the event the other day was asking for what he really wanted to hear on the radio was like local school sports scores. And stuff to like keep track of all the different, you know, because it's the whole region, and keep track of what's going on. Yeah, and so you know, in that afternoon news show, that would be great, you know, or not the afternoon news show, but the kids hour getting picked up or whatever.
Or maybe on the news show. Yeah, having us, if there's somebody that wants to be the sports reporter in the area and wants to
go around,
collect all that information about the scores every day and call in and give a 5-minute thing about all the sports, you know, we definitely have room for that role if somebody wants to do that.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I could open it up to talking about different interest stories of local sports people or something. You know, there's always ways to...
So now, since this is your beginning, right? So I'll say about, 10 years from now, are y'all going to still have these same programs going?
That's
a great question.
You can go ahead.
One thing that we've been talking about a lot, and Tom can speak to it too, is the idea of having some policy around rotational programming, so that even a popular show will be rotated out for some time to get other shows a chance, to give other shows, because you know there's times that are in more demand than others, and you know people are gonna generally want more show, you know, more shows at 8 o'clock in the evening, you know, or 5 o'clock drive time or something, than you know, maybe 4 a.m. or 11 a.m. or something like that. So there's gonna be stuff that, you know, there's gonna be more popular shows and also more popular listening hours and stuff like that. So we wanna try to make sure that there isn't just, you know, a few personalities that
are there forever. Like when I grew up in Tampa listening to a great radio community radio station like this called WMNF. And, you know, I loved it a lot. But as a young person in that town, it was run by the same people that had been running it for like the last 20 years. And there wasn't a lot of room for people that were interested in new music to get a chance to do something on the station. And we want to make sure that as the young people come up, they still can get a chance to be a part of it. And it's constantly evolving and changing as the community changes, because the community is not going to be a static thing. It's not always going to be like it is in 2009. In 2015, there's going to be newer people that are interested in other different issues and other different types of music, and we want to make sure that it built in, there's some way to reflect that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
You'll be coming back to do the big reunion show.
No, because I can see right now that I'm going to be successful, which I don't, you know. Starting here, we've got successful guys. You know, we're here already, you know.
I hope I'm here in 10
years. Yeah, you know. I'm just saying, not to be here saying that you might be more in a good financial situation that you are now. So, like, it's going to be hard because what you're giving now, you're giving off the energy that you know that you right now you had to buy.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning, yeah.
A lot of change when you start rising. You can't do what you really want to do.
Community radio stars.
You and make up your lines and, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean.
That's all I'm saying, you know.
I think, and part of what you're speaking to is like, you know, hopefully I'll be here in 10 years too, but the idea of like creating a, and I think you had kind of mentioned it too, of creating like a kind of sustainable organization and community project that doesn't require, you know, that we may not be in our same roles as staff members in 10 years, you know, and hopefully there's going to be different people who come in and step in and are able to fill those. And how do you create a project that people can get involved in and work with and people can step out of and doesn't require like a certain founder or personality to like be there and keep it all going, because that can be a problem too, just as much as on the air kind of thing, that there's like, you know, just that one person who's there for ever and ever that you always have to, you know, but that our roles and our work is adaptable to the needs of what's going on with the station, and that there's room for people to get involved, you know, on all levels of it. And I think that's a big part of what it means to create a sustainable project, for sure. Yeah.
I want to add that, you know, for the community to view this effort as a resource,
mm-hmm.
that's, I think, really the key.
Yeah.
When they really sort of take ownership of it.
Right. I think that's really true.
Definitely, yes.
And I think that's a lot of our work. You know, that's a lot of the work that we have to do, is like being very clear about it being a resource for the community and trying to figure out ways to make it so and to be as receptive as possible to different parts of the community and like as sensitive to that.
You have really one great advantage right now, because there's nothing else.
Right. We don't have a lot of competition. Yeah,
radio and TV is, you know, a lot of the stations are either focused at Albany or focused at New York City, and we're in a area in between that doesn't get a lot of attention.
Yeah, it's like, what do you watch? Like, Albany is, like, a copay. You're not really Metro New York. You're not really Albany. They say Capital District, but it's not quite the Berkshires. It's not really Connecticut, but it's real close. It's just, it's kind of a, and I'm sure Austerlitz, yeah, some of those areas.
We don't even have a TV because it doesn't work. You know?
Yeah, no one either. I got rid of the cable. I didn't even want to pay for it.
You're not missing anything.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah, obviously I'm not the only one. We're kind of just out there.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you watch? Even the weather, I was shocked when they mentioned coping. It was only because there was a tornado warning one time on Channel 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, they know where we are?
Over there, coping late? Over there, that area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of the middle of the middle of everywhere, actually. Because,
yeah, know, it's kind of between a lot.
Kind of between a lot of things.
Pretty good signal over there. It's kind of Hillsdale. Then you got go two ways, right? That's when you go two ways and go right
there.
Yeah, and we have a unique opportunity in that, like, it is very rare to get a full power community radio license.
Yeah, this was the first time in 15 or 20 years when you were even allowed to apply for them. So it's a rare opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, most community radio stations are 100 watts or less, which is a pretty small range, especially in a rural area. You know, in an urban area, that could reach a lot of people. But if, you know, for Great Barrington, you know, people are like, oh, you can kind of hear it if you're right in town, and sometimes you drive over this hill, you'll get, you know.
If you're in the parking lot of the...
Right.
Is it the Canaan Post Office in Connecticut? Right.
It's, you can pick it up. Yeah, it's like every once in a while you can hear it and stuff like that. So, you know, if we were to have a low power station, it would be like for Hudson City or something, you know, which would be cool too.
Yeah,
but
even in Great Barrington, it's a big enough town, but you really can't get it too far.
Right.
I picked up on the Mass Pike.
Yeah, like you can get little clips, yeah, but you can't count on it. And so to have a full power station, it totally changed. I mean, it's kind of amazing, you know, that we can even get in. There's very few places across the country that have that. And so it way expands our listenership. It way expands our possibilities and how the community can be involved and how much of a resource it actually is for the community, because it reaches a large area and a lot of people can count on hearing it in different places around where, you know, where they drive in a given day. They can drive across the river, they can drive, you know, practically, you know, to the Dutchess line and up to the Albany County line and still be able to listen to their shows and listen,
yeah,
to their
stations. There was a college station I used to listen to in Connecticut, and they went from 750 to 3,000. It really made a big difference in,
yeah,
the listening area.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing is that low-power community radio stations, because of laws or whatever, are subject to being pushed off the air every 3 months by... if a full power station wanted to take it over or whatever. So we have the kind of stability that most low power stations don't get to have, which is like an incredible privilege too, that once we've got this license and once we're on the air, or even now, you know, as long as we get on the air in the next 3 years, we've got it and we can't get pushed off the air. We're not going to lose our license, you know. And so that's like a real guarantee for the community. And that's something that often community radio stations, unfortunately, don't get to have that guarantee, because they could just lose it any time.
What is your timeline, like your preferred timeline to have the antenna up and be broadcast?
Well, we're hoping that we'll get that grant in October, and then that will really mean that it'll be soon after that. And we're saying May or June next year, but you know, it might be sooner depending on how many volunteers and how hard or difficult fundraising is. It'll, you know. Well, we're going to move it depending on, you know, if we can get on sooner, we'll definitely get on sooner. If it all goes really great and we get all the grants that we try for and we get all, you know, but we have to get on in 3 years, or you can apply for a little extension, but they say you have to get on in 3 years or you lose the license. So we've got 3 years from last October, so it'll definitely be on by then.
Yeah, I mean, and getting on the air, they don't require any kind of programming specifics within that, so it's like all we have to do is be transmitting.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot cheaper than what we're going to do to get on the air. We could just get the antenna, the transmitter from one site, and you know, get something on, and that'll help get, you know, it'll make, once we get on the air, it'll be easier to raise money. So because everyone will be able to see that it's a resource for the community, like you're saying.
Right. But we anticipate definitely.
Yeah.
Next year or something.
I think the way it's going, it won't be that difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, and also you can start with the simple stuff. You know, we've both Tom and I have worked with studios and stations that have a very, you know, very small amount of equipment to get it going. You know, and it's sweet if you've got all the sweet stuff, but you can also, with what we have here, and hooked into the transmitter, we could pretty much have our radio station. So. But it would be great to have a real...
So if you guys like to go out chat coverage, if you go out chat line, that boundary, like say if I have a show at the China Club set up, right, in Manhattan.
Oh.
We probably won't do too much of that.
Would you be able to make it down there to like...
I think because of our like local programming priority, we'll mostly stick to stuff that's being produced. Like it wouldn't necessarily... It would be stuff that's being produced in the area. We won't restrict it to... You know, it could be a local venue and there's a performer
that's
from outside
saying,
the area,
like,
but I don't think if it's a local artist in another place, probably not.
We might be able to help with a web stream, you know, if we can give you the software to at least set up a web stream, and if you're already recording it at the board anyway, wouldn't it just be bringing a laptop and feeding into that, so we could help with that.
Because you might have somebody like Michael Jackson. See, I get an interview with Michael Jackson, somebody. But Michael Jackson wanted to come to Hudson. He's just one block out of y'all range.
Oh, if you wanted to go and interview someone for the radio station.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Sure, like, that's possible.
That's what I'm saying. Something like that.
I don't want to say that sort of the reverse is true. I think there's going to be a lot of people in New York who are interested in radio and are going to sort of find their way up here, maybe
right.
not on a personal basis, but they're
right.
going to be very curious about this. And I suppose there isn't another sort of new full power station between here and New York or in the New York area, because people are going to be paying a lot of attention to
what, happens with this. Yeah. I think that
there's the town of Roxbury west of us has applied and got a station. And then Bard College and some group in Woodstock have both applied for the same frequency, and I think the FCC is still figuring out who wins. There's like a point system, and they may be tied and have to share programming. But I think they're the only other ones between here and New York that are going to get this a new full power in. I don't know what their plans are, you know, because they haven't won the station yet, either group. So they haven't told anybody really what their plans are. But we've talked to Bard a little. They have a prison program where they interview prisoners and prison guards, and we're gonna probably try to have a prison oriented show, since this area does have a lot of in Greene County where I live, it's the biggest employer I think in the county, so it is an important part. So we may partner, and we're talking about partnering with WBCR in Great Barrington and the Roxbury station, and maybe and.
Being sharing some programming.
Being a little regional, a mini regional network, so that if tornadoes are coming through or something, or you know, whatever, some Hudson River pollution, something that affects all the area, we can share some reporting or information.
Mm-hmm. Totally. But I think there will be a lot of eyes on us. I agree with you about that, and we'll probably be the first on the air and you know, a real community-based thing. And there's also a lot of, like, obviously city influence in this area, and we'll have to navigate that.
And we've already there's a gentleman here that does a show on WFUV in New York City that is talking to us about doing a similar or somewhat different show. There's been some this woman Suzanne is just moved up here to Hudson recently, and she's an oral historian who does all kinds of recordings for different NPR shows, and she wants to be a part of the station. So there is kind of an influx of...
You got the same frequency for the FUV guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is 97, yeah.
Actually, they went... I don't know, they moved their transmitter. That was a big thing about that.
Well, they went there. There's a lot of...
Yeah. To where the tower was going to be, yeah.
They're pretty strong. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Or we've got 10 minutes and we have to be out of the space, so... Susan's probably will give us a couple of minutes if we need it, but.
No, I'm still getting it together. What this is all about, I didn't really know.
Yeah, she was kind of
frightened. That's a good idea.
Just kind of threw me in.
Do you listen to the radio around here?
A little. I know a lot of the people that we work with, because my dad, he's a contractor. So I thought that might even be a good suggestion for you guys, because. Trade workers around here.
Totally.
A lot of good information, but I know they all do. And throughout the whole day, they listen
right.
to the radio constantly.
I know.
Finding music, weather, everything like that. But yeah, it's.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, when radio started before television,
really?
There, you know, radio theater was
the
big thing.
Like,
and they had
one of the ways I started
all these professional Foley artists who could make sounds that sounded like thunder or something in the studio.
Just over the line.
We're going to try to do a little bit of that.
There's a radio station that comes in just barely, you know? And I'm like always dying to try to get it, because it's like, I mean, there's some good Hartford stations for music,
yeah.
But there's this one community radio station that we can get in Connecticut, and it's great because
you do
like,
well. That sounds we would love to hear
wild,
that. What is that?
Kinds of programming.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just like throughout the day, you'll just like hear all the kind of stuff. You never have to listen to commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, no.
Yeah.